You're listening to Camera Dojo, the official podcast of CameraDojo.com, where we help you make the most out of your photography. This is your host, Kerry Garrison, and today we've got a special guest, Mark Fuller, who's been on the show before and talked about search engine optimization. This week he's going to talk about WordPress and some of the new things that are in the new version of WordPress. And at the end, he has a special offer for Camera Dojo listeners. If you haven't seen the new Lens Baby optic system with the soft focus lens and the wide angle lens, be sure and check that out. I did an article recently about that. I can't wait to start using that a little bit more in some wedding shoots. Really, really cool with the wide angle and the soft focus. So check that out on CameraDojo.com. There's been an update to the firmware for the Pocket Wizard Mini TT1 and Flex TT5, which fixes a number of issues. So be sure and check that out if you're using the new Pocket Wizards. And we have all kinds of specials going on with companies like Pictage, with Photomatics, BorrowedLenses.com, ThinkTank Photo, Topaz Labs, tons of stuff like that. Go to CameraDojo.com and click on Dojo Deals for a list of all the deals that we have going on for you to help you make the most of your photography budget. We do have a winner for our HP MediaSmart server, and our winner is Ron Warren from Santan Valley, Arizona, whose image is the Camera Dojo logo and mascot branded on the side of a cow. Can't get much better than that. So congratulations, Ron. He was actually one of the first entrants to get in and turned out to be the winner. So again, congratulations. We'll get that HP MediaSmart server out to you right away. And if you still have a little bit of time to get in for the giveaway for Gary Fong's book, The Accidental Millionaire, and that's was an excellent show last week, so check that out if you haven't already. So let's go ahead. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with Mark Fuller. Well, we're here with Mark Fuller, and if you do not recall, because you were living under a rock and haven't been listening to the podcast for the last year or so, Mark has been on the show before talking about search engine optimization and how to make the most out of your websites, issues with Flash versus HTML, and all this good stuff. But Mark, let me turn it over to you real quick and let you give a quick little update of who you are, what you're doing, and why you're a great guest for this show. How's that?
Well, thank you very much, Kerry. And, just really impressed by the way the website has changed and grown. It's getting gorgeous.
Thank you.
My website is just markfuller.com, and Mark is spelled with a C. And what I do for small businesses, and probably about 40% of my client base, is photographers in that small business group. So it's the largest single market segment I have, and that is help them set up WordPress and utilize WordPress to enhance their internet marketing and convert site visitors to leads.
Yeah, for those of you who might not know, Camera Dojo runs on WordPress. My website, kerrygarrison.com, not only runs on WordPress, but runs on one of Mark's themes. I have a lot of other websites that I work on that are all run on WordPress, but Why WordPress? Why not Drupal or Joomla, or the hot new one is vBulletin with their CMS tools?
You know, and vBulletin is worthy of watching. You know, all of the open source platforms are worthy of watching and can grow into different things. What's happened, though, with WordPress is WordPress defines itself as a semantic well, really, right now, it's a semantically correct content management system. And the experts that really make up that open source code community for WordPress have followed that semantic approach to the finest detail. You know, Gustav Flaubert wrote, "The good God is in the details." And that is exactly what's been happening with WordPress over the last few years. So when we say that WordPress is semantically correct, we're not talking about like high school English. What we're talking about is semantically correct for the internet search engines. And on my site, I've got a blog post where Matt Cutts, who's head of the Google anti-spam team, said that WordPress does 80 to 90% of the possible search engine optimization just out of the box. And there's no other platform for a website that I've come across, and I've even moved quite a few Drupal and Joomla sites into WordPress over the last year, that gets as good a results as WordPress. And we even had an internet company called Busby out of Australia for a few quarters run a SEO World Cup Challenge, they called it. And WordPress always took the top 10 slots. This was a contest where site developers could use any site platform that they wanted, any techniques that they wanted. And over a four-month period, they had to present a site that would be number one in the Google search engine results for a specific term from a specific Google data search or data center. And this occurred for 4 months to try to tamp down any black hat or malicious type Google manipulation. And they would have anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 website developers enter, and the prize was, I think, either $3,000 or $5,000 Australian for that project. So they have a lot of people from places like Indonesia and China spend a lot of time making sure that site would go well, and because at the end of the 4 months, they would make a healthy income for their country. Both times they ran that, it was WordPress walking away. So.
And WordPress has really been on a tear with development for the past 2 years.
Oh, it's changed completely. The WordPress that we were used to, like you say, 2 or 3 years ago, was a nice blogging tool, but it was not a good site content management tool. And now it's one of the absolute best content management tools. And from the perspective of a site owner, I think it is the best. It's got the easy-to-use administration interface, great bunch of tools, tremendously extensible. WordPress has become almost a fanatic on security releases to make sure that the site is as secure as it can be. So I agree. And this latest release of WordPress 2.9 gets even better.
And that just came out, I mean, less than 2 weeks ago, right?
Less than a week ago. So, yeah, it absolutely did.
And I'm excited about that. I haven't used some of the new media tools that are in it yet, but they're very similar to a plugin called Scissors, where you could, when you upload your image, you could then crop, rotate, and do some image manipulation with it. But I hear it's got some other stuff with, I'm going to probably get this, OEmbed?
Pardon me?
With the OEmbed protocol?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it uses another piece of code that's very similar to the Tim Thumb code, PHP script, which allows you to have a variety of thumbnail sizes.
Yeah, the OEmbed, for those of you who don't know what that is, which I'm sure very few people do because it's kind of new and not very many things have used it before, if you want to embed, say, a YouTube video, you can just take the URL of that page, just paste it into WordPress, and it will convert it and just drop the video in there. That's cool.
Yeah, and you know, I think the person, there used to be a plug, or there's a plugin called a Viper Video Tool, mm-hmm. and that's where that piece of code, I believe, comes from.
And it's not just YouTube now, it's pretty much all the major video sharing sites support this OEmbed. I guess it's a standard so that it makes this whole piece work properly.
Yeah, it just makes it work extremely simple. You're absolutely right. And then plus, over the summer, WordPress made available VideoPress, which I really like as far as embedding videos.
Now, can you do that? Can you use VideoPress on a self-hosted site now?
Yeah. Oh, yes, you can. Been able to do that since July, I know for sure.
Because I saw that originally, and it was only for WordPress.com sites.
Yep, there was a few weeks that it was only WordPress.com. And you can use the OEmbed to embed a video press.
Does that cost video. Money to use that service?
Yeah, it's about the same price as Vimeo Premium. I think it's $54 a year.
Oh, that's not bad.
And it gives you 3 gigabytes of space, which is a lot of space. And it is, in my opinion, the fastest video hosting that's available, for that moderate price.
Yeah.
And it has some nice tools too. You can freeze any frame of a video, and use that as the still image.
That's nice.
That front ends the video, those types of things. It has a real nice player. Once again, it's Flash, so it embeds almost universally. Plays on 98% plus of the installed browsers in the U.S.
Now, I think the last time you were on, gosh, we were probably at WordPress 2.4 or something. It's been a little while.
We were 2.5 something.
And with 2.8 and 2.9, a lot of the enhancements have been around the editing of pages and things like revisions, and now there's a new trash concept, so you can delete something and it's not gone forever until you empty the trash. But are there some things?
That trash thing is nice. It's going to save me a lot.
Oh, man. I've done that before.
I've had some tragedies from that.
Yeah, what are some of the other new things in terms of just editing that are going to make life any easier?
It's just a standard cleanup, Carrie. It's not a whole lot. It's just, this 2.9 has been codenamed Carmen for the jazz singer Carmen McRae. It is concentrates, as you pointed out, on media manipulation, which is one of the things that really was the purpose, the whole purpose of WordPress. But as the code base kept expanding, media kind of was taking a back seat. The next version of WordPress, 3.0, is really going to expand media, and it'll be exciting to see what that is. 2.9, the thumbnails, the video embed, the ability to crop and create images. There is more precision and better description of the hooks in 2.9. So we're seeing better and better plugins. The plugins that are fitting around 2.8 and 2.9 are just beautiful. There's a plugin out of New Zealand called WP e-commerce that has grown up amazingly in the last 3 months. I mean, it was difficult to work with last spring, and over the last 3 months, as they've moved from the 3.6 version to the 3.7 version, it has absolutely become the best shopping cart for SEO and search marketing that I've seen. It may not be as full-featured as some other shopping carts, but it is really, really close. But it's the ability to extend WordPress, the ability to better control your WordPress themes and styling sheets so that you're not overwriting those. The trash button that you've mentioned, the editing of the PHP files within WordPress, and the stability of the platform. Things that would crash in 2.5 and 2.6. 2.7 gave us a new interface that is, I think, one of the best GUI interfaces. That's been refined a little bit in 2.8 and 2.9. So, it's just continues to move and become more and more of a content management system, as well as the best blogging platform that's around. Now, I'd like to say a caveat. Right now, the current version of WordPress is 2.9.0. And just follow the rule of thumb. If you've got a nice, solid 2.86 WordPress installation, don't be eager to upgrade to the 2.0 next version. Wait till the 2.9.1, which should be coming out in the next few days. And just continue to follow that. WordPress did a great job of preparing 2.9 for release. It had a long beta testing and a long release candidate testing. But when it got out into the real world this last week, they found that some web hosting companies had some different settings than what they anticipated. So there were a few sites that didn't upgrade properly.
And if you're on 2.8, when you make the decision to go to 2.9, it's one click. You go update, and it should work. I mean, I've upgraded 10 sites so far without any problems whatsoever.
Yeah. Most of your mainstream hosts have no problems, but there were some people who, some hosting shared servers that had some settings that were unanticipated. And WordPress has a release candidate to fix that, and they expect to send out the 2.9.1 within the next few days.
Okay. You already mentioned that was WP e-commerce.
Yeah.
Now, what would you say they're your top 5 or 10 or however many you want to throw out there of absolute must-have WordPress plugins?
Oh, that's like almost list trolling, isn't it? Create a list. WP e-commerce is a nice shopping cart, so it's definitely not on the short list. It's a shopping cart. The Google Sitemap XML, I think, is a must-have. The Google Analytics plugin is a must-have. I think a must-have is FeedBurner, although some people may prefer not to use FeedBurner and just use a native feed. That's fine. All-in-one SEO, I think, is a must-have. There are some conflicts potential with all-in-one SEO, but then there's alternatives. Headspace is another SEO plugin.
What about Platinum?
As is Platinum. Yeah, Platinum is a good SEO plugin too. The conflict that I found with all-in-one SEO that's troublesome is, and this is a plugin I use a lot, and it's not well documented, but it's a plugin by Mark Jackwith that is called Page Links 2. And one of the really nice things about using WordPress as a content management system is the ability of that dynamic menu creation.
Yeah.
But then if we want to link it to like a show it site for or a blue domain site, for those gorgeous flash galleries, that becomes problematic. So you have to hard code in most cases that link into the menu section, and it either has to be at the beginning or the end. There was no way to put it in the middle. And no way to change the description if you were later looking at the site and going like, I really should call this something different. People don't, people aren't going to go to a Flash website. Maybe I want to call this galleries. Okay. So changing that meant opening the menu file, changing the menu structure, the name of the page, and that. With Mark's page links too, you simply create a page, and then. When that plugin is activated, at the bottom of the page edit is a neat little box, and it just you put the URL that the page links to. And then there's a checkbox. Do you want it to open into a new screen or a new tab, or do you want it to go ahead and open within the existing window or tab? And it is, like Mark says, it's for us naughty people who really like to use WordPress, not just for a blog, but for an entire website.
I've been using that one as well myself.
And, those are pretty much, image SEO I like. Although I may not be so excited, I may not be using it in a few months. It just depends on how it looks like media is handled in terms of the alt tags and the title tags on the images.
Is that similar to SEO-friendly images?
Yes. Yeah, in fact, that's exactly what the full name of it is.
Okay, so we're talking the same one.
Yep, absolutely. And, this brings up an interesting thing that I was going to get into later. And it has to do with how big the Internet is and how much content you need, how nice it is to have a lot of content to exploit it. But one of my clients was going back through to see what her search terms were, and she noticed that she got quite a few hits off of a person that was searching for wedding photographs at a local hotel. And in fact, this converted into a lead for her. And it goes back to titling and your images, and also putting that whole who, what, when, where, why, how paragraph in the blog post. Your images will speak to your site visitors, but you need to speak for your images to the search engine. And that's why you need that who, what, when, where, why, and how. And this was a set of wedding photographs or reception photographs that they took at a specific local hotel. And the bride-to-be was thinking about booking that hotel for her wedding or for her wedding reception, but wanted to see what it looked like. You know, it was nice to go in and talk to the hosting manager, but she wanted to see what people's real weddings looked like. And person saw that this blog post that this wedding photographer had done, you know, had a bunch of pictures. They looked great. She went ahead and signed the hotel, and she called a photographer to set up an appointment about booking them for her wedding. And it all came about just because in that whole viewpoint of the long tail, there are so many searches that it is difficult to understand how people can find your site and what they're searching for. You know, first thing we do when we sit down to do a search on Google or Bing or whatever is, how should we phrase it? And if you look at your stats, particularly if your stats for a blog, you'll see that people are coming in from any number of search terms that you would have never thought. They're not coming in specifically for wedding photography. And it's nice to be able to take advantage of the long tail. Every day there's almost half a billion searches in the U.S. And everybody is searching for different things, and even the people who are searching for the exact same thing use different search terms to get there.
Oh, if you are not using Google Analytics, you are doing yourself a disservice. Google Analytics will give you this information that Mark's talking about. You'll be able to, you can go in and see per search engine what phrases people are using, and that can help you to fine tune your content for those particular searches. It's a powerful, powerful tool. So if you haven't been using Google Analytics, you certainly should. And with a plugin like the Google Analytics plugin, it's very easy to get that up and running if you have a WordPress site.
Yep. Oh, it's in a heartbeat. Two other plugins, and you mentioned that these, you know, the best thing about a WordPress site is really the fundamental plugin, and that's a Kismet.
Mm-hmm.
Spam blocker. You know, you just will not have comment spam with a Kismet. The other thing is the WP Stats has matured.
I like WP Stats, yeah.
And that you don't even have to go to Google Analytics. It's right there on your dashboard. And Yoast, who's to me the Obi-Wan Kenobi of WordPress SEO, Yoast has rewritten a plugin for Clicky, which is another stat package that we'll embed into WordPress. But make sure that you activate Kismet. Make sure that you download and activate WP Stat. And then finally, and this goes back to my history long ago, I've always said that the unemployment lines are full of people who did not back up. And so make sure that you download WP Backup and that you use it.
Yes.
You know, you can even set a cron job, so it will email you the database, and the database is it'll back up and email you a copy of your database, and the database is where all the text content, then the link structure of your WordPress site sits.
Although you should go in with FTP and pull down all the images on a regular basis.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Unfortunately, they don't have a tool for doing all of it yet. But you need to do both. You need to have your database backup using WP database backup. Real simple. And I'm going to put links to all of these in the show notes. Make it real easy for you to find these things. And we'll make a note of that one. But you still need to do a manual backup of your images, which is exactly why we lost images on Camera Dojo, because the ISP didn't have it backed up properly, which was a real bummer.
There are a lot of shared hosting companies that within their cPanel, they have a nice backup function.
What about using caching tools?
You know, there's no doubt about it. Doncho's WP Supercache is a nice tool, and it's virtually trouble-free. And, you know, we can talk about that when we talk about some Google changes. There is no doubt that Google is working on page load speed as being a determinant on where your site places in the search engine page results. So Google is not talking. This is kind of newspeak. Matt Cutts is not talking about penalizing sites that are slow, but he's talking about giving sites that are fast a few more points. So I'm not sure there's a difference.
It's a fine line.
But that's what's that. In fact, I think it's already happening in some of the data centers for Google. But it is definitely, as Matt Cutts says, there's a lot of people on the team. And I also want to take, you know, kind of being an old hippie and a student of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, we are what we describe ourselves as being in lots of ways. And Google, to me, it's always been interesting how they describe the team that puts the search engine algorithm together. I mean, you know, this is where you rank. You know, this is how Google interprets your site and then in turn presents it to people doing a search. Google doesn't call that the search engine algorithm team. Google calls that the anti-spam team. It kind of really goes back to the nature of what SEO has evolved to be over the last 3 years, which is Google wants to take the time to crawl your site, index your site, and semantically through this algorithm understand your site so that it will present, it will have a much less likelihood of presenting spam to the customers. And, you know, Google views their, you know, Google has a half a billion customers a day, or not a half a billion customers, but Google customers do a half a billion searches on Google every day. So, and Google feels that the best way that they can present, the best way they can focus on their customer is stamping out spam, which is the reason that Google led the effort, led the movement to get rid of meta keywords. Google doesn't really spend a whole lot of time on your site description because, you know, face it, you can go into Google and take a look at what today's or yesterday's hot trends in search terms were. And in the old days, you used to be able to load those into your keywords. And so it didn't really make any difference. You could have been selling rebuilt engines for Chevys, but if Madonna was being searched on, you could put that in the keywords and you would get search traffic. And so that was one of the first things that Google killed to get rid of spam. And I think that that is also why Google is going to start focusing, as they say, on page speed. Is the people who spend the time to make sure the page loads fast are obviously less likely to have spam.
That's a good point. I do want to get into some blog versus site discussion a little bit, but before we get too far off of some WordPress-specific things, I want to ask you about comments and people leaving comments on your site. Initially, for me, what I have found is once a site gets to a certain level, the WordPress comment system just becomes insufficient. Even with Akismet and Bad Behavior and other plugins, you still get these hand-done spam comments that are you just don't want to see. And so plus it doesn't have some of the social interaction tools like some of the other plugins have. And I personally have been on some sites I have intense debate, on others I have discussed. I've also been looking at JSKit. What are your thoughts on once you really think you need to move into a better comment system?
Well, first off, let's cover the basic. You have to have Akismet. I mean, I'm just unequivocal on that. The second thing is you can, you know, with 2.7, we had threaded comments. So make sure that you go into your settings in discussion and turn on threaded comments. And, you know, that's going to cover, you know, 80 to 90% of the sites. As you probably know, Carrie, Intense Debate is a WordPress company now.
Right.
And so, you know, my I like Intense Debate. I don't like, just because there's a big enough community of WordPress expert programmers that if there's an issue of trying to move your comments, Intense Debate moves pretty easy. I don't think the Discus, you know, Discus I like their format, just don't think it's as flexible if you change hosts or you change format to manipulate the discus into a new site.
Yeah, I certainly early on, it had a lot of problems with changes to your site or moving from one site to another. I think they spent some time lately and fixed that up in some of the 2.0 releases.
I agree. Absolutely, I agree. So and I probably was precipitate.
If you look at some of the more popular articles on Camera Dojo, you can actually see all the Twitter responses to it and things. That's kind of neat. You know, you kind of see the popularity of something. I'm sure those features will be added to Intense Debate soon. And yep. JS Kit, another one, I kind of like it, but it's not free. It's not much. I mean, it's like $40 a year. I mean, it wasn't expensive, but it still didn't have some of the social networking things that I was looking for. And so I'm still keeping an eye on all three of those and really seeing where they're heading.
Sidebar, Kerry. Let's go back here real momentarily to must-have WordPress plugin.
Sure.
I love Twitter-friendly links.
Oh, absolutely. I can't even believe I didn't put that in there.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter has become so important. I mean, I'll confess, if somebody would have, you know, if somebody could have said, Mark, in by 2010, you will be a huge advocate of Twitter, they would have told me that 2 years ago. I said, no way. Okay. Microblogging has become extremely popular. The nature, the ability of WordPress to integrate Twitter and Facebook and push out content onto Twitter and Facebook from within your WordPress site is just an absolute, it's a huge dividend. I mean, it's just, it makes you from going and trying to be one of those Ed Sullivan Show plate spinners, you know, running around frantic, you know, with a dance of the sabers, keeping all of the plates spinning, to just working from your WordPress site. But Twitter-friendly links takes that inherent nature, which can modifies a lot of, if you put a micro post up, if you go to tweet something and you put a link, you'll find Twitter more often than not will link it out to bit.ly or tiny URL. Twitter-friendly links allows it to link out to your site. So you get all of these Twitter backlinks to your own domain name, not to bit.ly and not to tiny. And that is just, particularly if you've got a short domain name like Camera Dojo, 8 characters, nine characters, it is just absolutely a great thing because every time there's a tweet from Camera Dojo, that tweet has the pertinent blog post or article item or page item or, you know, cameradojo.com/1234.
Yeah.
And now that Google is emphasizing or now that Google is spending so much time searching Twitter or indexing Twitter, and Twitter as continues to expand their geographic locale information in the metadata of the tweet, it is a really nice threesome, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
WordPress, Twitter, and Facebook, but Twitter-friendly links to me is like the must-have Twitter plugin for your.
I can't even believe I didn't mention that one.
So. And he's, you know, that's brand new. That's just come about in the last 90 days.
Yeah, I've been using that. I'm really happy with it because as soon as I hit publish, it creates all the text, new post with the title, with the short URL. I copy it. I can just drop it right into Twitter. I can paste it right into Facebook, and I get the benefit of not having to go to a URL shortening service. I have it all right there. It's great.
Yeah. Plus, you get that link back to your own domain
yep.
name. Not to. You know, it's not benefiting a third party company anymore.
Yeah.
It's benefiting your site, and that's just great, because you'll see it over time in the link backs to your site.
Oh yeah.
You'll have a couple hundred tweets that link back to your site.
Yeah, it's definitely worth having in there.
Now, yep.
In terms of design, now we've talked a lot about WordPress and where it's at and some of the plugins, but in terms of an overall design, I think some people are still trying to struggle with, do I have a blog site or do I have a traditional page-driven site, and can the two work together? Where are you seeing that go right now?
Well, I think, you know, I think your prologue here, or segue into this, is just almost iconic of the difficulty, because it's not an either-or. It's difficult to sometimes envision if you're sitting on a show-it site or a Blue Domain site or a PhotoBiz site, because particularly with the show-it and PhotoBiz and such, you're not really hosting them. You don't have a hosting account except with show-it or with PhotoBiz. And Lawrence Chan came up with a nice video, but it was confusing as well. You know, should you have blog.yoursite.com as your blog or your WordPress installation? Should you have yoursite.com/blog or WordPress? Or should you have, yourwebsite.com? And absolutely, you know, number one with a bullet is yourwebsite.com. But how that appears is not necessarily behind the scenes. I had a client just this last week, and I didn't know what he was referring to, and he pointed me to Lawrence's discussion on this, a video discussion, and he was somewhat confused. When I set up a site, I think it's, you know, as you know, Carrie, and most people probably listening, WordPress is probably 12 to 1,500 files that sit across a number of directories and subdirectories. It's not important to have those files in your root directory, but it's important to have the file that loads WordPress in your root directory. And, you know, there's no doubt about it, to, you know, put WordPress, you know, build your site around a content management system, and build your site, you know, the best content management system is WordPress. So now it can look exactly like a traditional page-driven site. And there's a lot of advantages to a page-driven site. Okay. I'll put up a blog post. I think there's a website, I think, called problemwebsites.com. And the guy does a nice discussion of going through, I think, a few dozen websites that have been nominated as problem websites. And one of the biggest problems that we have with websites, and we've had this since 1995, and that was we had this habit of putting like a cover page on our website which said enter. So we had this metaphor of a book, you know, let's set this up, and of course, you know, we'll give somebody, you know, you have now reached, XYZ Photography, enter. And then that kind of evolved into that typical flash website splash page. And those are problem websites, because there's nothing there on that entry page is an additional step. A lot of times you've got menuing systems with Flash. They're ActionScript. Google can't follow ActionScript. And most of our splash pages just have, if it's a Blue Domain splash page, you'll have a couple of iconic images and the word website or blog underneath them. And those are really terms that nobody searches on. And it's hard to put enough content in there to get anybody to search it. So you do need a traditional page-driven site. You do need a landing page that has a pitch to it, has a pitch for sufficient content to be directed to convert your site visitors to leads. I mean, that's what you want your website to do, and that's what websites can do if they're well put together. That's why the typical Blue Domain splash page doesn't work. There's nothing there. That's why a blog doesn't work. And I was giving a talk a few weeks ago, and I said, you know, imagine that big news was Donald Trump is looking for a wedding photographer for his daughter's wedding or something. And you're gambling in New Jersey, and you happen to get on the elevator with Donald Trump. And you would just love to be the photographer for that wedding. Would you hand him a pretty picture and play a song off of your iPod? Would you hand him the printouts of your last five blog posts? Or would you want to hand him a brochure which had a cohesive, pertinent pitch describing your primary services and why those services were the best choice for him. And I think the last choice would be what we would do. The blog posts aren't bad, but with the blog posts, face it, that's kind of a James Joyce stream of consciousness. Your last five blog posts can go off of anything from a picture of your cat to a discussion of a Christmas ski vacation to to boudoir photography to your vacation. You know, it may not necessarily be exactly what Donald Trump wants at that point in time. And, of course, just to hand him a picture and play a song, Donald Trump would probably be eager to get off the elevator before.
Now, are you trying to put logic into this?
Like, what do you
mean? You're trying to make sense, and I don't think most people get that because that's not how I see most websites.
Really?
You go to these websites, and what do? They play music. That must be the right way to do it.
Yeah, they give you a picture and play music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that is a problem website. But it's been a problem website now for going on 15 years. And, you know, the reason that has evolved is not because the people who design those Flash websites are nincompoops. They're not. They're great programmers. They have a sense of design and style that I could only make a wish for. I mean, I'd better find a magic lamp to get that. But within the realm of Flash, that's all you have. So, and it's interesting. I found on the Wayback Machine some of Blue Domain's way they used to describe their websites. They described their websites not as websites, but as web galleries. And, you know, there's no doubt about it. PhotoBiz, SmugMug, ShowIt, Blue Domain, they're great web galleries. They're not the best website. So you can make them the best website, I believe, by wrapping them in WordPress. And, you know, leave the pretty pictures in that Flash gallery. You know, there is a big wow factor to that. But convert the people to a lead, get your website in front of people, direct them to why you are best, share yourself, share your personality through your blog, but wrap it all up, you know, with something that will get them to your website and convert them to a lead. So there's no reason to put your contact information in a Flash website. You know, contact information is pretty easy to style. And no one's looking for, you know, the gee whiz factor of your contact information. Your investment or price list, the same thing. You know, put those things where Google can index them, because when you describe your packages, you're going to use a lot of keywords. Put those in a page where Google can read it. You know, when you talk about your contact information, believe it or not, you're going to be using keywords there. Your address is a keyword. It pins down your location. The name of your business, a lot of our businesses, a lot of my clients' businesses, you know, have the name photography, you know, have the word photography in them. You know, they'll have a tagline of what they specialize in, wedding photography, sports photography, boudoir photography, you know. That's important stuff to have in pages that are easily read by Google. And, you know, that's what I would go for.
Now, a lot of people have read about different ways of improving their search engine optimization or the right things to do. Oh, everything's got to be in H2s or H3s, or your blog posts need to look a certain way. But Google changes this stuff up on a fairly regular basis, so it's actually fairly difficult to stay on top of. And isn't Google even changing their algorithm coming up here pretty soon?
Yeah, but you know, Google doesn't change. Yes and no. I mean, Google refines. Okay. Once again, that Google algorithm team is called the anti-spam team. So Google refines what they do based on eliminating spam. Those H1 through H3 tags are pretty good. When Google though sees a site where everything, all the content is H1 to H3, those are really the headline tags. Google will semantically interpret that site as being unimportant, as being spam, because you know, if you see a web page that's all headlines, you know, all big print, all headlines, you know pretty quick that there's no meat there. There's nothing more to read. Even if they put a whole paragraph in a headline form, it's like, oh man, you know, this is ugly. I'm not going to stick here. And I believe the Google search algorithm is doing exactly the same. Headlines, though, are important if they're properly used, just like they're important in a newspaper or a magazine. The article headline is important. That H1 tag is a really nice piece of real estate. Almost the same goes for the H2 or the H3 tag. So when the theme is optimized for search indexing, some care is spent as far as how those H1 and H2 and H3 tags are used. But to get back to what you're talking about, you know, this month or here this week, Google is going to be rolling out caffeine into the data centers. Now, once again, going to go back to Google's number one. If you go down, there's a link that's Google's principles, and I'll send that to you, Carrie, and where Google mentions, describes what their business principles are. Number one in their principles is focus on the customer. And it's interesting that Google calls this three-year rewrite of their algorithm caffeine. That's the project name for that rewrite of that search algorithm. And for the most part, in terms of how people see search results today on caffeine, going to be very little change from how their site was presented under the existing or the soon-to-be pre-existing search algorithm. We've had some chance to play with the caffeine on a dedicated data center that Google had, and you know, you'd see a site move two or three spaces, but not big. So you have to wonder why Google spent 3 years then to rewrite it if it was only going to make a minor change on how a site was presented. I think Google rewrote it so they could expand the search algorithm to get rid of spam. And, you know, they also call it caffeine, and which may be kind of a predicate to why Google seems to be that in 2010 they'll emphasize page load speed, where they have not, that has not been a factor for the last few years. But the data centers will start this week rolling over to caffeine, and that should be done within the next 60 days.
Now, we were just talking about headline text. Is there a good way of writing that text so that it is optimized well? A trend I've seen lately, and I don't know whether it's effective or not, but I'll see a wedding photographer, say, in Seattle, and they'll do a new blog post, Marie and Bob's Wedding, Seattle Wedding Photography. And so you have that Seattle Wedding Photography in every blog post headline.
And that's, you know, and that's kind of the overreaction from how people used to do it. I've got a client who used to be on Zanga, a blog platform. And, of course, with Zanga, there is no headlines. Zanga is written just like a diary. The entry for every blog post is simply the date and time. And so you do want to think about what people are going to be searching on. You don't need to mention, you know, where the, you know, mention where the wedding is or what the wedding is. You know, be nice to the couple, put their name in the headline. Okay. But take a look at the headlines you read in the newspaper. That's just what, you know, they don't go, you know, Seattle wedding photographer photograph, you know, Seattle wedding photographer photographs Tim and Tina's wedding in Seattle. You're absolutely right. That's painful on your customers. So, you know, I think it's best if the site owners adopt Google's number one philosophy, and that's focus on the users. The users don't want to see a headline written like what you described there, Carrie. The users want to see a headline which mentions the who, the what, and the where. So, you know, is it a wedding photography? Is it, you know, beach photos? You know, that type of stuff, you know. The when is going to go ahead and be put in by the timestamp within the system on that blog post. So that's pretty well covered. And the how doesn't need to be in the title, but it should definitely be in that first paragraph of text.
Because I just think when I see that, and I see that same thing, you know, Seattle wedding photography 8 times on that page built into every header, my first impression is Google's going to penalize that. And so I don't I don't do that. But I just, even though it may work short term, it seems like something that's probably not a good long term play, because it looks like spam to me. And I think if it looks like spam to me, it's probably going to look like spam to a search engine.
Well, and even more importantly, it's going to look like spam to your site visitors.
Yeah.
And so focus on the user. I mean, just step back and say, you know, if you've got to explain to your mother, you know, your mother, your English teacher, why are these titles so stupid? And your explanation is, I'm trying to manipulate Google. that's a problem. Okay, first off, your English teacher thinks you're stupid, okay, and Google may think that you're a spammer. So, yeah, you don't want to be doing that. But go ahead and mention where it is, or put the hotel name in there, you know, wedding reception at, Marriott Contra Costa. You know, mention those types of things. You know, put that in the title. But then leave it alone. But just make it a decent headline. I was working on a blog post that I never published. You know, it's just called "Stop the SEO Stupid." It burns. I was going to put a picture of a paste eater in there, and that's what a lot of these titles are becoming. You're absolutely right. I mean, just make it a regular headline title. You know, such and such a wedding at such and such a place. That's all you need to do. Make it look intelligent to your reader, and Google whether they mark it as spam or not. The SEO stupid was, there was a guy selling a $39 SEO book. Now, most of this SEO stuff we're talking about, Terry, is, you know, the last 10%,
mm-hmm.
as Matt says. WordPress natively, and how you do it natively, if you'll blog regularly, 80 to 90% of your SEO is taken care of. But so people make huge amounts of money on this last little bit. But he said that SEO was really simple. SEO was simply about manipulating Google to place your site higher. First off, if you think you can manipulate Google for any amount of time, you'd probably make a lot more money if you just sent your resume to Matt Cutts.
Yeah.
Okay, he'd probably either bring you in as a consultant, or just put you on the payroll. You know, most in most real world cases, if you're trying to manipulate Google, Google will remove you from the index.
Yeah, you may find a short term loophole.
Yeah,
but it probably won't last long term.
So the best thing to do is manipulate yourself to maximize Google, and that is, Google just simply wants you to be smart, and wants to present a good site to the user of Google.
Now, you have emphasized quite a bit on speed, and that Google's probably going to be putting some emphasis on site speed. How can we measure the speed of our site, especially in relation to others, and then what can we do to improve that?
Okay, that's exactly where I was going next. So thank you. First off, there's a nice tool that you can load into your browser bar if you're using, if you're using Firefox, and I believe there's a version for Internet Explorer. And that's Yahoo's Slow, and it's a tool called YSlow, just YSLOW. And it'll put a little page speed monitor down there in the bottom of your page. So you'll see things like when you download and turn on a WP Supercache from Dontia, that your site will load a little bit faster. There's a image scruncher that Yahoo has introduced to do this as well. That'll go through what I find the biggest problem with some photographers is they put up these big photos, but they do not optimize the size of the photo. So they'll put up a photo, 900 pixels wide and 600 pixels tall, or big photo, but that photo will also be 2 or 3 megabytes.
Yeah, they stay at 100% quality and all that good stuff.
And there's some sites which do a good job of explaining, but you computer monitors are pretty poor at displaying photographs. I mean, there's no monitor there's no browser and monitor that's going to display a photograph to magazine quality. We can make them look impressive, but they do not need to be very big. And so that Google Scrunch tool is a good tool at making your site images as small as possible. The other thing is we got into the habit, and this may be more from other blog engines or blog platforms, of having a blog with a huge number of blog posts on it. And you've probably visited some photographer blogs that, the page continues to load. In fact, you can't even find any more there on the sidebar where to grab the scroller because the page has gotten so long. If you would print that page out, it would probably cover 40 text pages. We need to bring that down and with this new emphasis on speed and, you know, set that so that depending on how many photographs you're putting in a post, that you may only want to be displaying around five, your five most recent posts. If you have a sticky post, you could open that up to, you know, six or seven.
Is there a rule of thumb for how long a page should take to load?
You know, I think we should be striving for under 10 seconds, you know, and that's not really a rule of thumb. That's just Mark's silly guess.
Okay.
You know, why slow is there, and it's what I've been working on. I moved my site to a different host last week because it was loading so slow, and often it wasn't loading at all. And the host said, first thing when you call tech support, they do this game called Blame the Victim.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, it must be a plug-in. It must, oh.
Yeah. Well, first off, and they're going, well, you know, so they were going like, well, you know, slow load speed. And I'm going, like, this isn't slow. This is no. I run a ping or a trace route, and the thing is dying. I'm losing four, you know, I do a ping. It's not making the connection. So this is the fact that your server is offline, or at least my section on the server is offline. Well, let me try that. They come back, they witness that, they experience that, and then they're still convert to talking about slow load speed and plugins and those types of things.
Yeah.
But let's talk about, once again, the purpose is not to manipulate Google. The purpose is, you know, in Google's eyes and what should be our own eyes, is enhanced customer experience on that website. So there's no doubt about it, a website that loads faster is a more pleasant experience than a website that loads slow. The second thing is Google has done some research and found that when they present fast loading web pages, that their number of searches increases. And, you know, first, that why would that make sense? Not unlike how Coca-Cola, us old guys probably remember when the biggest Coke bottle you get in the supermarket was 1 liter. And then that lasted for about 2 years, and all of a sudden the 2-liter bottle became standard. And Coke found that people who bought 2-liter bottles consumed about twice as much Coca-Cola as people who bought 1-liter bottles. And Google finds that people who are presented fast search pages do more searches.
Which in turn displays more ads, which in turn makes Google more money.
Exactly. What Google has also found, though, and I'm going to present this link. I'm going to read the paper, make sure that I understand it. But I came across the link to this paper on a UK web host, and that is that there was a relationship. Increase your load speed 30% and your sales increased 30%.
Wow.
Yeah, decrease load speed, and your sales decreased. And I believe this paper says it's on the same site. So we have the correlation of, you know, faster pages get more use and make more sales. But I think there's a paper out there, and I'll put up a blog post this weekend if it holds up, that taking the same site, increasing the load speed, increase the sales.
I know I do it. If I go to a website and it's taking a long time to load, close, go to the next one.
Yep.
I have no tolerance for a slow website.
Yep. No, and it's just, you know, I mean, we got used to slow websites. Because face it, Yahoo is slow. I mean, YouTube is slow.
Mm-hmm.
So media-rich websites get a little bit of slack. But we need to tighten up. We need to, you know, no more of these, you know, huge blog pages with 40 blog posts, you know. No more, you know, no more just setting it up, you know, show them, you know, blogging daily and showing somebody every blog post for the month, for that month. No, we need to break that into five posts and that type of stuff. It's just, you know, I truly believe since I moved my website, my site traffic has gone up, has almost doubled. In 1 week, And of course, that's probably because my site was down so much. But what I was surprised about, everything on my site stayed the same. The site map stayed the same. And yet the Google search bot is in there much more than it was before. So,
do you want to give a recommendation for your web host?
I just published a blog post early this morning saying it was a no affiliate, no paper post, no reseller website. Because generally I get dissatisfied. And, you know, I think there are some web shared hosting people out there that are really problematic. There are some shared hosts out there that, you know, if you'll take a look at your stats, Carrie, 8 to 12% of your bandwidth is search engines. I mean, not search engine referrals, but just bots crawling through your website. There are web hosts out there that are discouraging that bot activity because it can reduce their bandwidth and or their overhead, 5 to 10%. So if they discourage that, they save money, and most site owners don't know it. So, there are people that I would stay away from. But, if you want me to mention names, I
sure.
would. Okay.
I mean, I think it's good. It's good. And I don't have a problem with calling people out for doing bad things and for giving some kudos to companies that do good yep. things.
Okay. Well, then, right now, let's start with the good first. Right now, I am still, carrying the flag for Bluehost. Okay. I think Bluehost... Bluehost has some really nice features where you can go in and you can configure the amount of script memory that you have yourself. And you can open that up to 128 megabytes, which is important with some of these WordPress sites with big photo galleries, and then also where you want to do auto-update. So Bluehost has multiple flavors of stat. You can activate AWStat on a standard Bluehost account. You know, it's $7 a month. You can activate... I mean, the whole hosting account is $7 a month. You have control over your PHP any file. You have control over your script memory. You have control over PHP versions. You can load IonCube if you're putting a cart in. Bluehost, to me, is just really a sweet deal. But now let's talk about the bad. You know, back in the mid-90s, Network Solutions was the best shared hosting server in the world. And Network Solutions is out there pitching people on hosting their WordPress site. You can go through my tweet history. Seems like once a month I run into an issue with WordPress or with Network Solutions where I'll tweet, friends don't let friends host with Network Solutions.
Yeah.
And Network Solutions is still out there charging $30 a year to renew your domain name. it's just... You know, to have been such a great provider in the mid-90s to where they are now for shared hosting, it's disappointing. Google, our GoDaddy, same thing. I migrated from Network Solutions to GoDaddy. GoDaddy was $10 a year host names, our domain names, and great shared hosting. And... nothing is more iconic of GoDaddy not stepping forward their technology than the fact that they still use hold music from 2001. the same six or eight songs from SquirrelNut Zippers. I can, 2000, 2001, SquirrelNut Zippers was fun to listen to, and GoDaddy Tech was about the best for shared hosting out there. Not so much anymore. So, and that was a company that I was hosted with as recently as last week. Other hosts that I like HostGator. I don't think their tech support is as easily available as Bluehost. Bluehost is all in the U.S., and it's based out of Orem, Utah, Provo, Utah. And when you call tech support, you're talking to somebody over in Utah. The HostGator is really close, and I found HostGator take care of things very, very quickly. And they set up fast, and they... just both HostGator and Bluehost are great hosts. I think DreamHost is a good host, too.
I've heard good stuff about DreamHost.
Yep, so, those would be my three choices. And GoDaddy I would still use to host domain names. I think GoDaddy is a great, $10 a month, often it's on sale and even less. Domain names, GoDaddy is great. and they're very easy to manage on GoDaddy. Shared hosting, though, not so much.
Okay. We've certainly talked a lot about Google, but what about Yahoo and Bing?
Well, you know, Yahoo and Bing combined probably about 20% of the U.S. searches, maybe a little bit more. You know, Google is somewhere in the high 60s in the U.S. and low 80s worldwide. Yahoo, of course, is moving over to Bing. Bing, which is good because, well, it's good for me anyway because I understand Bing a little bit better than I understand Yahoo. And Bing's technology, I think, is a little bit tighter. Google introduced a semantic search indexing so that Google would try to have a handle on, is this site about wedding cruises or is it about Tom Cruise's wedding? And then be able to deliver the site appropriately. Microsoft came in right behind with their implementation of semantic search. Microsoft also has a nice set of webmaster tools. You mentioned Google Analytics and Google Webmaster Tools. Microsoft has a set of webmaster tools that are nice and insightful onto what your site is. Microsoft, that said, Microsoft is a little bit more driven to shopping. So it's a good reason to have your shopping cart down on your own website. You know, and Redcart does that. You can buy a version of Redcart and not host it at Redcart, but host it on your own website. So you could wrap, as I've done for some clients, their flash galleries or Blue Domain hosted on their own website, shared hosting. Their cart is Redcart, hosted on their own shared hosting hosting account, and their WordPress-driven site is also on their own host. For search engine optimization, that's the best. But we can affect 90% of that simply by skillful use of domain names and subdomains. So, for instance, ShowIt. Generally, ShowIt, you take and point your domain name to ShowIt, and then point a subdomain, like a blogs.yourdomain, to your blog. But ShowIt, you can reverse that so that your site, your landing page, all of that, you know, your pitch page is all sitting there at your domain, and then you'll have galleries, which will then go to galleries.yourdomain, which is where your ShowIt site is hosted at ShowIt. So, and the same for PhotoBiz and Big Black Bag and other flash site providers. But like I say, Microsoft has made Bing very similar to Google in lots of ways with a little bit more emphasis on shopping. Microsoft has grown its market share in the U.S. a little bit. They should for a $100 million advertising campaign. But, you know, once again, you know, it's just nice to have Bing there, and it's nice to have Bing so competitive with the nature, so competitive on their algorithm and indexing and presentation with Google, so that if your site is optimized or your site is has Google first in mind, it's not going to be far behind with Bing. Yahoo was a mixed bag, but now that Yahoo is moving to Microsoft's Bing engine, it's really going to make search marketing easier. You're not going to have three. You basically have two. One of them is three times the size of the other one.
Well, that'll help narrow things down a little bit, at least.
And like I say, if you're selling from your website, no matter how you're doing it, it's going to make things better. It really will. So, which kind of then goes back to how do you sell from your website? And we touched on this, and that is I invite everybody, and I don't know if I sent you the link, but Chris Anderson's The Long Tail, which was groundbreaking in 2004, is just as important now. Okay. Once again, 500 million searches a day, so many people looking for similar things but using dissimilar terms. And that is where the content of your site makes a difference. Whether it be for a commerce-oriented search engine like Bing or a text or a content-oriented search engine like Google. And you know, they're not really that different, but Microsoft is about the shopping experience more than Google. So, but you know, I invite everybody to go out to longtail.com and take a look at what Chris Anderson was telling. And it goes back to why it's so important to have complete descriptions of what it is you're doing on your website. And that's where, you know, that's why blogs have become so important to search marketing. But it's also why you should have a strong pitch page, not just a picture and music, what do you do and why should somebody use you? You know, turn the landing page of your website into your 30-second elevator speech.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, so that's what it needs to be. And, you know, I do it with WordPress and just make a dedicated WordPress page that has site options and easy to fill in boxes. In fact, you just cut and paste text into widgets and move them around on the websites that I do. So it's real easy. The rest of that landing page is also built out of widgets. So you can have your most recent posts, you can have your most recent comments. If you're using WP e-commerce, you can have your best sellers. if not necessarily for a wedding photographer, but you know, for other if a person was renting, using their website to rent, a wedding planner was using their website also to rent decorations for weddings and receptions. They could put their best sellers there. Just use a widget to link the shopping cart to the front page. And it's those types of tools that are really nice. A lot of people don't think still that you can use WordPress as a landing page unless you use it as a blog. But WordPress has evolved, you know, particularly through 2.5 and above when widgets came. What widgets are able to do. So you don't like that main page, you simply replace the widgets. You don't like the text on your main page, you simply rewrite the text and paste it back into the widget and save it. And, you know, that was another huge advantage, wasn't it, for 2.8, was how widgets were used in WordPress.
Well, excellent. I think this has been a great, great topic. I know a lot of people are using WordPress or they've been thinking about it. And then all the information that you've given us on Google and where search engine optimization is going, it's certainly something we all need to stay on top of and try and keep our sites listed as, you know, prominently as possible. I mean, that's what we're all about. You know, you're not going to get as many click-throughs if you're on page 10 as if you're on page 1. So it's good lessons to learn. It's going to be interesting to see where Google Caffeine plays out and what things we can do to optimize our sites for that. So we'll...
I mean...
Go ahead.
Kerry, remember, first off, with Google Caffeine. Google, you know, there's that old thing of, you're looking for something and it's a G-I-Y-F. Google is your friend. You know, we use Google as users, as well as we use Google as marketers. Caffeine is not going to appear to change that much. They spent 3 years to basically rewrite the long-term future, and PageSpeed is part of that. And lastly, I want to mention, there's been a big dust-up on the web on this idea of copyrighted themes. And, you know, some people saying there are no copyrights with WordPress, and some people saying there are. Some people saying he ripped off my theme or my template. Let me just say that the only thing that is copyrightable on a WordPress website or even a WordPress theme, you know, even if you go and buy a theme, that theme is not copyrightable. The only thing that is copyrightable is the images. The images that came with the theme, and more importantly for the people who use WordPress site, the images and the text content that the website owner uses. So as photographers, your images are copyrighted, of course, and your descriptions and your text and your content is copyrighted. But that basic theme is not copyrighted. And the reason for that is that WordPress is open source. WordPress was built up as a fork off of a prior blogging engine called B2. That was open source. Even the plugins that we use that are built on WordPress are not copyrightable. You know, you can pay for them, that's fine, but they are not, they're not copywritten. They're all open source. And so the site owner is protected. His content or her content, her images, her descriptions, is her copyright. But that basic underlying site, that WordPress template, and all of the plugins and code that drive it are all open source. And that may muddy it, but it's just I really don't like to see this idea that, where particularly theme developers and site builders like myself, although I don't do it, are yelling at each other back and forth about copyright infringement.
Yeah.
It's open source code, guys.
No, I'm only concerned about people who steal my content.
Oh, absolutely, and that's fierce. You know, be fierce about that. You know, you have solid ground. It's your content. The code itself, it's like HTML. HTML is open source. What you put in, the content that you put in HTML is not.
So. I think we could have a whole discussion on copyright issues. I mean, it's and how to go after people. So that.
That would probably be great for Dojo, but it's neither here nor there with WordPress. It's there for your site content. How you use watermarks to protect it, how you use the tools on the internet which look for people who rip off each other's content and description. Yeah, that would be great. I'd listen to that multiple times.
Well, that's been great. Thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate it. We're about an hour and 15 minutes, so we're kind of reaching the limit, I think, so we don't want to drag on too much longer. But I think it's been great information. I really appreciate you coming back on the show. It's always educational for me, and if it's educational for me, it must be educational for other people.
Thank you, Kerry. I truly appreciate that. I thought we'd probably talk for about 20 minutes. I apologize. Hope you had a great Christmas for you and yours, and great New Year's, and may 2010 bring everybody's dreams to realization.
Well put. Well put, Mark. Thank you very much.
Take care, Kerry. Bye.
I hope you all got a lot out of that. Mark sure knows his stuff with WordPress and themes. He has some cool new stuff coming up for theming that is going to help people make their websites even better. But Mark also wanted me to pass on a special deal for Camera Dojo listeners. Basically, he's going to give you a try it, like it, buy it special of his Cortez theme, which is what I use on kerrygarrison.com. I love it. This is a value of $267. But what he means by try it, like it, buy it is he will install this for you, get it set up for you, get it all dialed in for you, show you how to use it. And if you decide you don't like it, there's no cost. If you decide you want to use it, then you pay the $267 for the theme. So you get the chance to really see what your site is going to look like using his Cortez 2 theme and the Next Gen Gallery and all the other things that go along with it. So what better opportunity do you have to really see how cool of a website you can really have than working with Mark on this try it, like it, buy it deal? So if you're interested in that, just send Mark an email at Mark, M-A-R-C, at markfuller.com, markfuller.com. I'll put a link in the show notes for that. So Mark at markfuller.com, and tell him you want to do the try it, like it, buy it special. This has been your host, Kerry Garrison. You can follow the show on twitter.com/CameraDojo, facebook.com/CameraDojo, or a bunch of other ways of following us are in the Camera Dojo show notes. So thanks everybody for listening. We'll catch you next time.